Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Tracking rain moving across our area, still a good bit to go. I'll show you how long we'll be dealing with this through the afternoon.
And too close to call, the race for North Carolina's 13th congressional district is headed for a runoff. We'll have reaction. Plus,
I wish anyone well who would be America's president. Our country is too precious to let our differences divide us. I
defeated it. Nikki Haley is out of the Republican presidential race, but she assures Americans that her voice will not be silenced.
This morning's rain continues for much of the rest of the day. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Storm Tracker is out on the roads, keeping an eye on weather and road conditions. We'll check in with Brian Schrader in just a moment. We begin with meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at when that rain starts to taper off and how much total rain we should expect.
We're taking a look at lots of rain out there still. We've had a few breaks in the precipitation on and off in places, but we're looking at a new wave that's just coming out of the south. There's plenty of rain coming our way, so that's starting to push in around the Triangle area right now. A bit of a break here in our northern counties. Still some showers popping up there in Roanoke Rapids. We'll zoom in around the Triangle. You can see that rain starting to push back in across Raleigh. Just moving on into Chapel Hill and headed on into Durham. And we head south of there, and we're definitely seeing a good bit more of the rain down around the Fayetteville area and in the Sand Hills. And those waves of showers are going to be moving up into our area. So I'm looking at a really good chance for rain up through the middle of the afternoon. We'll see this next wave come through. After that, we may see it backing off to just some scattered showers, and we'll be watching that as we head through the afternoon. Of course, meteorologist Brian Schrader is out in the Storm Tracker right now in Wake County, checking out what you're seeing. How heavy is it where you are, Brian?
Not raining too heavily at this point as we take you to the front view here. We're on I-40 eastbound, heading away from Lake Wheeler Road back towards South Saunders Street. And, you know, on radar, it kind of shows the southern half of Wake County starting to see some of that light rain. As we head through the afternoon, though, of course, that rain is going to get heavier, as Elizabeth showed us, that wave of more moderate rainfall is going to be coming through. And it could be a little wet later this afternoon and maybe even into the evening commute. So a reminder that whenever your windshield wipers are on, your headlights also need to be on. And as you are heading maybe back home from work this afternoon, listen to us on the radio. Our live newscast is at 99.3 FM in Raleigh and 96.5 FM in Durham. Renee?
Thanks, Brian. Stay on top of the latest storm developments with the WRAL News app. Download the app for free from the Apple and Google App Stores. Be sure you have the WRAL News app installed on your phone. Turn on alerts to get notified about severe weather in your location.
The Republican race for the 13th congressional district is headed to a runoff after none of the 14 candidates got enough votes to win the nomination. That district includes Johnston, Harnett, Franklin, and parts of Wake County. WRAL's Matt Tallhelm is live in Smithfield, where we're hearing from the top candidate for the first time. Matt?
Yeah, Jeff, Attorney Kelly Daughtry is from here in Johnston County. This is also the county with the largest population in the 13th district. It helped her rise to that commanding lead, but still not enough to top 30%. So Daughtry's campaign says this race now heads to a runoff. Daughtry will face former federal prosecutor Brad Knott, who actually lives outside of the 13th district in Raleigh. He is the second place finisher here, getting 7,200 fewer votes. Knott and his campaign have not responded to our questions about his plans, but within the last 3 hours, Daughtry's campaign did. They shared a statement with us thanking her supporters and looking ahead to a runoff. Daughtry says the results make it clear that voters are seeking a candidate who will prioritize America first. I want to compliment my fellow Republican candidates and the races they ran. I look forward to the next 60 days as we continue to rally support here in North Carolina's 13th congressional district. Now, Daughtry in that statement also tied herself to Donald Trump, saying she looks forward to working with Trump in Congress. This is her second time. You may remember she ran for the 13th district nomination back in 2022, but actually came in third place then. He officially has 9 days to notify the State Board of Elections that he plans to seek this runoff. So that would be next Thursday by noon. He has to notify them. Then that runoff election will be held on May 14th.
Unfinished business. Matt Tallhelm live for us in Smithfield this noon. Matt, thanks.
The matchup to replace Roy Cooper as North Carolina's governor is now official. Attorney General Josh Stein won the Democratic nomination with nearly 70% of the vote. And on the Republican side, Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson won nearly 65% of the vote. Josh Stein spent part of this morning on a tour of Reese City, New York in Durham, an organization that trains future leaders and entrepreneurs. While there, he talked about winning his primary.
It's all about trying to help people achieve their dreams. That's what government should be able to do, is to have safe schools, strong neighborhoods, have an economy where everybody can succeed, have their personal freedoms and liberties respected. And this organization is about trying to help people achieve their dreams. It's the same idea.
We did reach out to Stein's opponent, Mark Robinson, on his historic victory. As of this hour, our requests via phone calls, emails, and texts have not been returned. He did speak about his plans for the general election during remarks last night.
Running this general election, we're not going to allow these folks to drag this campaign into the mud. Those who want to go into the mud, feel free. Where we're going is we're going towards the substantive issues that all North Carolinians face. The things that will make North Carolina great, that will take her to her next level of success.
The North Carolina governor's race will likely be one of the most watched and expensive governor's races in the country.
And happening right now in the WREL Life Center, Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell has officially endorsed Donald Trump for president. He declared his support in a short statement, saying it is clear that former President Trump has earned the support of Republican voters to be our nominee for president of the United States. Now, the two men had not spoken since 2020 when McConnell declared Democrat Joe Biden the winner of that year's presidential election. But more recently, their teams had reopened talks about an endorsement.
Thanks, Michelle. After putting up quite a fight, former U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley has dropped out of the GOP race for president. Haley made history by being the first woman to win a Republican primary. During today's announcement, Haley did not endorse former President Donald Trump. NBC's Bree Jackson reports Haley says she will not stop using her voice for the things she believes in.
After putting up a fierce fight for the GOP nomination, former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley is ending her presidential bid.
The time has now come to suspend my campaign. I said I wanted Americans to have their voices heard. I have done that. I have no regrets.
Haley's exit from the race comes after former President Trump's dominant Super Tuesday win. The former South Carolina governor is not endorsing Trump yet. Instead, she's urging him to earn the backing of her supporters.
It is now up to Donald Trump to earn the votes of those in our party and beyond it who did not support him.
Trump is inching closer to clinching the GOP nomination, setting up a rematch with President Biden.
Our cities are being overrun with migrant crime, and that's Biden migrant crime.
The president continues to remain the favorite on the Democratic side. Some voters expressed frustration with his handling of the Israel-Hamas war.
It's making me not want to vote for Joe Biden, honestly. I'm thinking of going third party because of it.
Other Americans are not happy with their main options.
I don't like Trump's approach to people, how negative he is and how he treats others and some of his antics.
It's such a divided country. I'm tired of it being divided. I'd rather be somewhere in the middle.
Both Trump and Biden have more than half of the delegates needed to secure their party's nomination. In Washington, Bree Jackson, NBC News.
And when Haley became the first candidate to challenge him after his late 2022 announcement, Trump told reporters he had encouraged her to run.
Embattled Johnston County School Board member Ronald Johnson advances to the general election in November. He received 39% of the vote for the District 7 seat. The incumbent was indicted on charges of extortion and felony obstruction of justice. Jeff Sullivan received 32% of the votes on Super Tuesday. WRL's election coverage goes beyond the numbers. Our NC Capital team will be back at work today, analyzing the numbers and putting the trends into context for you. Look for updates throughout the day on the WRL News app. Federal lawmakers are rushing to pass funding legislation ahead of a possible government shutdown on Friday. Today, the House is expected to vote on several key bills. The time crunch is even tighter with President Biden's State of the Union address set for Thursday. Lawmakers are confident the spending package will be passed. It is backed by the top Democrats and Republicans in both chambers.
It is day six in the trial for a man accused of murdering an NC State student 3 years ago. Christina Matos was stabbed 16 times inside her apartment on Hillsborough Street in April of 2020. Her husband of 5 days, Eric Hernandez Mendez, is on trial for murder. Today, the state spent hours submitting evidence from the crime scene. Investigators testified Hernandez DNA was found on gloves inside his car as well as Christina's. Blood was also found on various items in the home that include her DNA and Hernandez Mendez. If convicted, he faces life in prison.
Leaders held a statewide tornado drill this morning as part of Severe Weather Preparedness Week. Last year, the National Weather Service recorded 25 tornadoes and 131 flash flooding incidents in North Carolina. In Wake County alone, 23 severe thunderstorms were reported. Emergency management officials say it's important that each family has a plan and that they practice it. Following a storm, beware of danger from debris. Wear sturdy shoes, long sleeves, and gloves when walking. And be aware of exposed power or gas lines, broken glass, and exposed nails.
Next at noon, a week after a trip to the hospital, Pope Francis is still battling respiratory and mobility issues. We update his health condition.
Also, the TSA screens millions of people at airports every day. The new do-it-yourself option being offered just in time for spring break.
Plus, arguably the biggest upset of Super Tuesday was in the race for state superintendent of NC schools at 12:30. What makes this so interesting?
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, software company SAS has confirmed layoffs at the company. Officials there tell us that the retail solutions division was impacted. They say they continue to evolve their organizational structure, and that remains a priority for SAS. But they say they are continuing to hire in Cary as well as around the globe for newly defined focus areas.
Liberty University will pay a record $14 million fine for violating campus crime reporting laws and for its treatment of sexual assault survivors. The Clery Act is a law that requires colleges and universities that receive federal funding to collect data on campus crime and notify students of threats. The Christian school markets itself as having one of the safest campuses in the nation, but its police department had only one officer to investigate crimes from 2016 to 2023.
Pope Francis is continuing to suffer from respiratory and mobility problems. Today, the Pope presided over his weekly general audience held outside for the first time this year in St. Peter's Square, but he had an aide read his lesson. And the Pope appeared unable to climb up the few steps to board his Popemobile at the end of his audience. Aides later brought back his wheelchair so that he could sit. Last Wednesday, Pope Francis went to the hospital for unspecified diagnostic tests. Those results have not been released. The widow of Alexei Navalny is calling on Russians to join a protest her husband planned for Election Day. Before his death, Navalny wrote on social media that long lines to vote against Putin would be, quote, a powerful demonstration of the country's mood. He urged voters to come on the same day and time at noon on March 17th. Vladimir Putin is almost certain to win his fifth term in office because most of his rivals have been either physically eliminated or are in exile.
The TSA screens 2.5 million people every day at 440 airports nationwide. Every carry-on, every suitcase, every passenger screened and cleared. Now the TSA is testing what could be a faster checkpoint of the future. NBC's Tom Costello shows us the self-service screening options coming to airports just in time for spring break.
A self-checkpoint. Much like self-grocery checkouts, almost the entire screening process is self-guided. More automated, allowing TSA officers to keep eyes on security.
What did you think?
I liked it. I think it's a lot easier.
But it's not gone without hiccups. Gloria from New York was rushing to catch a flight.
It took me 4 or 5 tries to get through.
What was the hang-up?
Supposedly my watch, my hair clip.
my jacket.
Starting today, a six-month trial run in Las Vegas, reserved for pre-check flyers only who know the routine.
Some of this will be familiar to regular travelers. Come up to the checkpoint, take your carry-on, put it in the bin. If you've got any questions, simply ask the TSA officer on demand.
Hi there, how may I help you today?
TSA officers will dial in remotely.
Place everything in the bin. Yes, and when you're all done, go ahead and slide your items forward.
Slide your bin onto the rollers, then walk right into the full body scanner. And this is what's new. You come in and you put your arms down to the side, and it's going to look for anything that shouldn't be there. And it's telling me I got to come back out. I have a microphone, of course, that it's detected. I've got the transmitter on my belt, and something a lot of people forget, my cell phone.
Bags that require rescreening cycle back automatically. After testing the checkpoint, the TSA will decide whether any of it can be rolled out nationally.
We'll see if it makes its way to RDU. Well, tomorrow night, you can celebrate and support our local arts community when WRAL presents Big Night In for the Arts, featuring amazing artists, including Pierce Freelon and Tift Merritt, a live performance by award-winning bluegrass musician Trey Wellington, and more. Help us raise funds to create healthy, vibrant communities through the arts. Watch and donate tomorrow at 7 on WRAL and wherever you stream WRAL. Great live music, and you don't have to leave the house.
That's right. Yeah, we have a big day in for the rain today. That's what we're faced with. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRO Severe Weather Center with that look at satellite. It's covering up much of it.
Yeah, today's one of those days you may not want to leave the house if you don't have to. The good thing about it, it's not freezing cold out there. Temperatures are on the mild side. We're looking at another wave that's coming up from the south. It's bringing some heavier showers down near the South Carolina line. That's getting ready to move right up through our part of North Carolina right here in the triangle and then eventually up the I-85. Quarter. A little bit of a break in the precipitation near some of our northern counties, but all this rain is going to be lifting northward. So you can see some of the yellow and reds down south. None of this is thunderstorms. It's just a little heavier. Getting ready to push up through Southern Pines and Carthage. Andrew and Sanford seeing some rain right now. We'll lift up here to the northeast. Some rain in Roanoke Rapids, but that last little bit is about to pull out. And then we have a little bit of a break in the precipitation. But it's really gotten cranked up again around the Triangle area. And of course, Brian Schrader is out in the storm tracker, and he's in the northern part of Johnston County right now, where some of that heavier rain is starting to move in. How's it looking now, Brian?
Well, it's raining out here on 40 eastbound as we head away from the Highway 42 interchange in the Cleveland community, heading toward McGee's Crossroads. This is a live look from the front of the WRAL storm tracker. We have the windshield wipers going. You can see the raindrops there. It's not very heavy rain, but it's not a very pleasant afternoon to be out on the roads. A lot of spray getting kicked up out here. And a reminder, since we're going to be seeing this rain through much of the rest of the afternoon, you really need to slow down. And remember, it is state law that when your windshield wipers are on, your headlights also need to be on in North Carolina. And Elizabeth, I know that our higher resolution models indicate that this rain is going to be pushing in and maybe getting a little heavier in the triangle.
Yeah, that's the way it looks here. Also, of course, you know, we're looking at what's going to happen as we get into the evening commute. So we'll walk through Futurecast, and you can see some of that heavier rain sitting over us right here at 2 o'clock from Fayetteville through Raleigh and Durham. That pushes eastward at 3 o'clock and then on out by 5 o'clock. And that's definitely good news. The streets will be wet for sure during the evening commute, but not having the heavy rain around the area will certainly help the process as folks are trying to get home from work. After that, we may see an isolated shower on through the evening, closer to midnight when our cold front moves through. But for the most part, that's going to be about it. We take a live look at Apex, and it's coming down. I've been watching people walking down Salem Street here with their umbrellas. Definitely going to need something like that around the triangle for the next couple of hours. 59 degrees. Temperatures climb into the low 60s this afternoon. It's 54 in Roxborough, 60 right now in Fayetteville and Clinton. So, you know, at least it's not 40 and raining, but it's still not very pleasant out there. 63 for the high in Raleigh today, 62 in Durham, and 67 in Fayetteville. After today, we're going to push the rain aside, looking at 70 for tomorrow. Looks like a nice day with a high of 60, with a normal high of 60. That 70 is 10 degrees above normal. Now, after that, things begin to deteriorate a little bit. More clouds on Friday and some scattered showers on Saturday. And that rain Saturday may be with us for most of the day and into the evening. Sunday, though, looks nice and dry. So in terms of the weekend, Sunday looks like the preferred day to be outside. We're going to take a closer look at Saturday and talk about when we are most likely to see that rain. Of course, on Saturday, we also go back to daylight time. We will spring forward. It looks nice and dry for Monday and Tuesday. But again, hour by hour forecast for Saturday is coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. With nicer weather and spring cleaning on the horizon, March signals a fresh start with warmer months ahead. Today at 4, 5 on your sides, Keely Arthur looks at the top items to buy this month.
And then at 5, Hope County officials are honoring the Good Samaritans who stepped in to help a school resource officer after he was hit by a car while directing traffic. Meantime, still ahead this noon, lawmakers are putting new pressure on TikTok to sever ties with China or face a ban in the U.S. Why this could be the most significant threat to the app so far.
Waze warns drivers about everything from speed traps, delays to potholes. Now the app is rolling out new features that could make your drive even smoother. OpenAI seeks to dismiss a lawsuit filed by co-founder Elon Musk. Musk alleges OpenAI abandoned its original nonprofit mission he helped fund, claiming it's now focused on making money instead of benefiting humanity. OpenAI says at one point Musk wanted absolute control of OpenAI by merging it with Tesla. Musk left the board in 2018. A bipartisan group of lawmakers introduced a new bill to pressure TikTok to cut ties with China. The bill gives ByteDance, TikTok's parent company, 6 months to either sell TikTok or face a ban in the U.S. It would also prevent app stores from distributing the social media platform unless it cuts ties with China. Some experts are raising concerns about how the bill could potentially impact First Amendment rights.
New regulation introduced by the Biden administration could save Americans up to $10 billion a year on credit card debt. It's a measure that would cap most credit card late fees at $8. It's good news for more than 45 million people who are charged late fees every year. If it's approved, this works out to about $220 of yearly savings. But the Chamber of Commerce says the new rule punishes people who pay their bills on time. The chamber plans to file a lawsuit against the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Target plans to launch a new paid membership that offers same-day delivery. Target's Circle 360 includes unlimited free same-day delivery for orders over $35, as well as free two-day shipping. It promises delivery in as little as an hour. The membership program launches April 7th. It costs $49 a year, and the price jumps to $99 a year after May 18th for customers who do not have a Target card.
Updates to the GPS app Waze could help drivers reach their destinations more safely. The app will soon have new features that will alert drivers about speed bumps and sharp curves. Other upgrades include alerts that notify drivers about emergency vehicles on the road, changes in the speed limit, and a feature to show the closest parking locations. Some of the features have already rolled out, with the rest expected later this year.
We'll give you this live look from the WRL Storm Tracker right now on I-40 in Johnston County. Our team coverage of this Wednesday washout continues at the top of our next half hour.
A local race on Super Tuesday is getting a lot of attention. We'll examine how a far-right candidate with no political experience beat the incumbent for the position of state school superintendent. First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
This is a live look at Dix Park, and it is raining pretty hard there right now. And the rain's going to continue for the rest of the day. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Thanks for staying with us. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRL Severe Weather Center with a look at when it starts to taper off a little bit. How much rainfall can we expect?
We're looking at total anywhere from about 3/4 of an inch to an inch. We're going to take a closer look at that coming up in just a little bit. We're starting to see another wave that's coming through now, moving into the Triangle area. A little bit of a break north of that, closer to the Virginia line. But we'll zoom in and you can see some steady rain in Sanford, Andrew, Fuquay, Verena, Apex, Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, Zebulon, Clayton, seeing some of that heavier rain. And then down toward Rayford, Carthage, Fayetteville, and Wade. We'll take a big look and you can see the low pressure system still back to our west. That's going to wrap some moisture back around, but the wraparound moisture on the backside is likely to be more like showers instead of this steady rain that we're seeing. So looking at this band of some heavier showers moving through 2 o'clock through the Triangle area by 5 5 o'clock, it's starting to exit. And at that point, the rain should be a little bit lighter, which hopefully will make the evening commute a little bit better. You can see that chance of rain starting to drop off a little bit by about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We could still have a few light showers up until midnight. We're looking at a pretty day tomorrow. I'll show you that coming up.
Be sure you have the WRL News app with notifications turned on. We'll alert you to flooding, traffic, and school closings as the storms move in the area today.
There were too many surprises in last night's primary, with one big exception. The incumbent in the race for superintendent of public instruction lost to a political newcomer. WRL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie is live at the State Education Building with how it happened. Laura.
We're here at the State Board of Education meeting led by State School Superintendent Catherine Truitt. She's in the final year of her first term in office, and she's running for a second term with the support of most of the Republican establishment here in North Carolina. But in the night's biggest upset, a conservative activist defeated Truitt by a substantial margin. Michelle Morrow ran unsuccessfully for Wake County School Board in 2022, backed by the far-right group Moms for Liberty. She has no background in public education. She has one child in a homeschool co-op here in Wake County. A former ER nurse, Morrow is opposed to vaccine mandates. She was active in the Open NC movement during COVID and also attended the January 6th riot with one of her children, although she says they were not involved in any of the violence. In the past, Morrow has called public schools indoctrination stations and made some inflammatory comments on social media. Morrow raised little campaign money, but went to a lot of county meetings and forums and shook a lot of hands, what we call retail politics. She criticized Truitt as not conservative enough and not cooperative enough with the parental rights movement. Truitt did not run a very visible campaign in the primary. She has not responded yet to our request for a comment on last night's results. Morrow will face Democrat Mo Green in November. Green is former superintendent of Guilford County Schools. He defeated two other educators to win the Democratic nomination. We were hoping to speak with Superintendent Truitt this morning about the race, but her spokesman has declined to comment or declined an interview for her. We're hoping to have a comment to bring you later today.
Laura Leslie, live in downtown Raleigh. Laura, thank you. Today, the State Board of Education will consider changes to how paid parental leave is given to school employees. The new rule would expand to include paid leave for miscarriages and stillbirths. Employees would get 4 weeks for a miscarriage after 12 weeks of pregnancy, and they would get a full 8 weeks for a stillbirth. That would apply to both parents. The new rule is not up for vote today, only discussion. If it's approved, it would go into effect next school year. And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, a federal judge in Texas has just ruled that a minority business agency must open its doors to every race. Here's what this means. The ruling states the Minority Business Development Agency, or the MBDA's, presumption of disadvantage is unconstitutional. Attorneys in this case saying this is a historic victory for equality in America. MBDA is now open to all, but lawyers representing MBDA did not immediately respond to a request for comment.
Today, the union representing employees at a state medical center in Wilson will speak about an issue with their paychecks. This is happening at the Longleaf Neuromedical Center. In January, about 50 employees there were overpaid. And a few days later, after getting their checks, they were told they would need to pay it back out of their February checks, which they say caused them financial hardships. Union representatives plan to speak at 3:30 this afternoon about their next moves. Crews in Knightdale are working to fix a gas line break this morning, and WRL's breaking news tracker was there at the scene on North Smithfield Road and Forestville Road, just north of the town hall. Workers tell us the leak does not appear to be a threat to neighbors or businesses in that area. No word yet on how that work will get finished up and when that gas line will be back in operation.
North Carolina is less than a week away from legal online sports gambling. Health experts want to prevent the fun of it from turning into an addiction. They say young adult men, especially those in college, are most at risk for developing addictive behaviors. A psychology teacher from UNC explains at that age, the reward center and decision-making parts of the brain aren't fully developed yet.
The part of the brain that tells them maybe this is not the best idea, or let's think about inhibiting our initial impulses, let's think about exerting some self-control, that's still relatively immature. So you have kind of this drive to seek out reward, less immature kind of top-down control of that process.
Feeling restless or irritable when you can't gamble and the inability to stop gambling are signs of gambling addiction. If you or a loved one needs some support, you can call 1-800-GAMBLER. About 2 to 3% of Americans are considered to have mild or moderate gambling problems. Today, we will hear from the folks who will be monitoring your sports betting behavior very closely in an effort to help. Join us for that on WREL tonight at 7.
March is Endometriosis Awareness Month. What doctors want women to know about this chronic disease?
Plus, student reading skills are lagging post-pandemic. How parents can help children gain confidence as a reader. The WRL News app brings you the best of WRL's reporting resources everywhere you need it to be. Access news and info whenever and wherever you want. Download it to your favorite devices. Doctors are highlighting a chronic condition that can often go underdiagnosed in women. More than 11% of women in the U.S. suffer from endometriosis. The condition causes tissue similar to the lining of the uterus to grow in other places within the pelvis and abdomen. It can cause extremely painful periods, pelvic pain, or even fertility issues. There's currently no cure for endometriosis, but medication and surgery can help with symptoms.
Treatment entails excising or cutting out, removing all of the disease. The pathologist will then look at the tissue under a microscope, give us the final diagnosis.
It's unclear what causes the disorder. Genetics do play a role.
The CDC says cigarette smoking is the number one risk factor for lung cancer, although smoking rates have declined from 20% in 2005 to 11% in 2021. Health experts are sounding the alarm about an increase in non-smokers developing lung cancer. One of the biggest culprits of lung cancer in never smokers is long-term exposure to radon gas. It has no odor or color and could be lurking in homes, schools, and businesses. Doctors recommend you have your lungs x-rayed if you have symptoms that aren't going away with treatment.
We're finding now 15 or 20% of all lung cancers are occurring in people who've done everything right. They've never smoked, they've exercised, they've eaten right, and they still get lung cancer.
Now, the good news here is that if lung cancer is detected when it's restricted to a small nodule in the lung, then stage one, the cure rate can be 90 or 95%. Concerns are being raised over childhood reading levels. After the break, what you can do at home to supplement kids' language development.
To celebrate International Women's Day, Barbie is releasing role model dolls. The women being honored for their work to inspire women and girls coming up.
Reading is an important part of childhood development, but as students continue working to make up for learning gaps ushered in by the pandemic, academic professionals say most kids need to improve their reading levels. Data from the National Assessment of Educational Progress reveals reading levels have remained stagnant over the last 20 years. Academic experts from across the country are trying different strategies to improve these numbers.
There's always room for improvement. We have most of the children not necessarily reading at levels of proficiency that we'd like to see.
And parents are the first literacy teachers. And Piasta says the children being able to understand how print in on the page there is connected to sound is most essential to reading development. That learning can be done with anything from books to magazines to seeing your grocery list.
International Women's Day is Friday, and Mattel is celebrating with an exciting Barbie release. These are the 8 new role model dolls. The women gaining Barbie lookalikes include Viola Davis, Shania Twain, and Lila Alves, all chosen for their work to inspire girls with their creative pursuits. Barbie is also celebrating its 65th year since the iconic doll's debut in March of 1959. The new iPhone update is out, and there are more options for everyone's favorite little yellow guys. Now you can use emojis to nod yes and no. Other new additions include a phoenix, a lime wedge to round out the citrus emoji options. Oh, and there's a second mushroom. Apple also updated its theft protection as well, making it more difficult for thieves to access stolen phones. Jeff, I know you'll be using that phoenix quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. Rising from the ashes here, no doubt. And we're going to make it easy right now. Elizabeth, where is it raining?
Gosh, I'm not sure. Is there a new umbrella emoji? Because I think we might need that one.
Just a bigger one.
All of these towns, Goldsboro, Fayetteville, Apex, Chapel Hill, all seeing rain right now. And there are a couple of spots in our northern counties where we're not seeing rain, but it is steady out there. And that's going to be the case probably for another 2 hours. And then after that, by mid to late afternoon, we start to see this tapering off a little bit. But I mean, there's still plenty of rain out here. Let's put this into motion. That started at 6 a.m. So we'll roll the loop and pause it right now. And you can still see back here in East Tennessee, some rain. All that has to pass through our viewing area. But once the low moves past us, everything will be a little bit more scattered. We're seeing that warm front lifting toward us, and that's what's helping to create this band of some heavier rain. We've had some thunderstorms close to the coast, but that's where they will likely stay. It wouldn't be completely out of the question to see maybe a stray thunderstorm around Fayetteville, Clinton, Goldsboro, but most of the storms will stay to our left, and none of those around here would be severe. So some slightly heavier rain. Let's zoom down here to the south, and you can see Fayetteville seeing some steady rain. Southern Pines, Carthage, Vass, that yellow shaded area is going to continue to lift northward. But Sanford seeing some significant rain right now, as well as Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, and then up near the Virginia line, it's begun to taper off a little bit. With all this rain that's been falling for a while, we're still looking at an average of about a quarter of an inch. We're seeing that in Fayetteville, back over into Moore County, up near Rocky Mount, and just a trace in some places up near the Virginia line. But most likely, by the time this is all over with, it's going to be at least half an inch to an inch. Over here is Brian Schrader, and he is on I-40 moving north, about to cross the line between Johnston County and about to head over toward Garner. And I think we have his shot that we could take. We have Brian out there somewhere. We do, don't we?
Brian. Hear me. Hello.
There he is. Hey, so hey, you're it looked like you were in a sort of dry spot headed back into the rain. What's happening there?
Yeah, we drove down toward I-95 on eastbound 40, turned around, and now we're on the westbound side, heading back toward the Cleveland community and the 42 interchange. And it was pretty dry, a little deeper into Johnston County. But now that as we get closer back toward Wake County and some of that more significant rainfall, we're starting to see it pick up a little bit. Certainly not heavy rain right now where we are, but light rain, enough you need to keep the windshield wipers on intermittent. Of course, as we head through the afternoon, that is likely to change and we'll see some more significant rain. So if you do have to get out and drive through the afternoon, you do need to be extra careful, increase your following distance, and turn on those headlights. Elizabeth.
And thanks for being out there. It is definitely messy. I mean, the one good thing is that it's not terribly cold out there. We will continue to see the showers steady across the viewing area. Now for the next little while, we're going to see this rain continuing to lift northward. Once we get past 3 or 4 o'clock, though, it begins to scatter out and it should be fairly light during the evening commute. We'll jump ahead to Saturday. That's going to be our next best chance of rain. Tomorrow looks gorgeous. I'll show you that in just a few minutes. But on Saturday, starting in the morning and really lasting for a good chunk of the day, we have rain in our forecast. Another half an inch to an inch, possibly. It clears for Sunday, so if you have outdoor plans, it's going to be fine. Of course, we're right in the middle of rain right now, 100% chance. Saturday, it is an 80% chance. And forecast rainfall for today continues to be somewhere between a half an inch and an inch of rain, and a couple of spots, maybe even a little more than that. But Mike, will have some of those totals for you during our evening newscast. Tomorrow looks gorgeous under partly cloudy skies with a high of 70. Saturday, of course, a little wet. Saturday night, we spring forward. Tomorrow, we'll have our first look at some of the high-resolution models and have a little more detail about Saturday's forecast.
Elizabeth, thanks. Our WREL Teacher of the Week never thought he would be an educator. Coming up, how this teacher's surprise passion is bringing out the best in students here in Raleigh.
And the winning Mega Millions numbers, 2, 49, 50, 61, 70, the Mega Ball 14 and the Mega Plier 2. Friday's jackpot now climbs to $687 million. We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today.
North Carolina's newly reconfigured 13th Congressional District GOP primary will be decided by runoff. The 13th District represents parts of Wake, Franklin, Johnston, Harnett, and Lee counties. Local attorney Kelly Daughtry finished first with 7,000 votes ahead of former federal prosecutor Brad Knott. She did not reach the 30% of the vote to automatically secure the GOP nomination. Daughtry said this morning a runoff is happening, and that's expected to take place May 14th.
State Superintendent Kathy Truitt was back to work this morning for the State Board of Education meeting just hours after voters ended her re-election bid. Truitt lost the GOP primary last night to challenger Michelle Morrow. She's a homeschool mom who has called schools socialism centers and indoctrination centers. In 2022, she lost the campaign for a Wake County school board seat.
Beyond the political headlines today, we're also following developments in a high-profile murder trial in Wake County. A state crime investigator testified this morning in the trial for Eric Hernandez Mendez. He's accused of stabbing his wife, Christina Matos, days after their marriage. The FBI agent told the jury her DNA was found in her husband's car on gloves. WRL's Chelsea Donovan is in court today. She'll have updates on our news starting at 4.
Our teacher of the week never thought he'd be an educator, but he's changing young lives right here in the Triangle. WRL's Brian Schrader heads to downtown Raleigh for a man who credits his colleagues for his success.
There you go. Congratulations. Yes.
Denya Hewitt never thought he wanted to be a teacher. Back in his home country of Jamaica, Hewitt's pastor convinced him to go to college and become an educator.
At first, I didn't like it, but as soon as I got into teaching practicum, doing my practicum at a school, I fell in love with just the changes that I was able to make in the classroom.
Hewitt's been teaching since 2009. He's been teaching at Wiley Elementary in Raleigh since 2016. Right. Hewitt loves his second graders and his colleagues at Wiley.
We lean on each other. We support each other mentally, socially.
A parent told me Mr. Hewitt brought out the best in both of her sons.
The one that I had last year, I saw him blossoming from a bud to becoming a beautiful flower, and I do love that.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Denya Hewitt, WRAL's Teacher of the Week. I'm Brian Schrader, WRAL News.
And if you'd like to nominate a teacher, go to WRAL.com and enter Teacher of the Week in the search box.
From a bud to a flower. Yeah. That's beautiful. Our pet of the day comes to us from Cat Angels NC. Lily was found outside with her two sick kittens. Now that her babies are recovered, they've been adopted. But Lily is still looking for her forever home. If you're interested in meeting Lily, you can fill out the application at catangelsnc.org.
Warmer weather means a fresh start is right around the corner. On WRL News at 4, 5 on Your Side's Keely Arthur has the top products to buy in March to help you with your spring cleaning. That time already.
Yes. And I think a nap is calling my name with this rainy weather out there.
Perfect.
NBC News Daily is next on WRL. Your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WRL News app. Have a great day.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.